Hello, welcome to another message titled Desire the Presence of God. So this is a continuation of the Holy Ghost series. And now that this scripture, Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him who hears say, Come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." So that's the scripture that we're going to be discussing on for today. So one thing you're going to note from this scripture is that you need to thirst. It says, let him who thirsts come. So you need to thirst for that living water. You need to thirst for the presence of God. You need to thirst for the glory of God, for the fire of God. They're all the same thing. That's the manifest presence of God. And Jesus is that manifest presence of God. So you need to thirst. You need to be hungry. You need to desire. You need to yearn. You need to crave. You know, there's a scripture that says, crave spiritual gifts. It's still the same thing. Crave spiritual gifts. So the spiritual gifts come from the presence of God. Crave the presence of God. You see, the word that the Bible used was crave. So now you should know what that means, that it's not just ordinary wanting. It goes beyond wanting. It goes into longing, thirsting. You know, thirst, hunger. You know now that you can't live without water. You can't live without food. That's the level where it's supposed to get to. You're supposed to be passionate for the presence of God. And you're supposed to realize that you can't live without the presence of God, just like you can't, just the same way as you can't live without the Word of God. So it is the Word of God that equips you, prepares you, cleanses you for the presence of God. So they all play different roles, but sometimes people don't understand that. You know, the Bible talks about the Spirit, the water, and the blood. They're not the same thing. The water and the blood come from the Spirit, come through the Holy Spirit. The water is the Word of God, the washing of the water by the Word. The blood is the tangible reality of God, the fragrance of God, the manifest presence of God, the glory of God. That's the blood. That's the life essence of Christ Himself, and that is Christ Himself. That's the glory of God. So they're all different things. And the blood of Jesus cleanses. That manifest presence of God cleanses you, purifies you, renews you, washes you. Why also the Word of God washes you? But the Word of God washes your mind, your soul, transforms you, your way of thinking, your pattern of thinking, your way of living, your steps. That's what it does for you. So that's what's going to equip you. That's what is going to clothe you. It's a clothing for your soul, for your mind. That's what is going to renew your mind, clothe you, prepare you to be a vessel of honor. If you submit to that washing of the water by the Word of God, if you submit to the mind of Christ, if you put on the mind of Christ and you're walking in that mind of Christ and you are obedient, then you're going to experience the living water. That's another washing. That's the washing that's going to take away all the filth, all the evil that is afflicting your life, and is going to constantly protect you. So you need the Word of God. You also need the blood of Jesus. You need the manifest presence of God. So we're talking about this living water now. We're talking about the manifest presence of God now. So you need that manifest presence of God. Another thing you should note, that it means that you should approach the throne of grace. Yeah, because that is where it comes from. If you remember that scripture in Revelation that says, "And I saw the pure river of the water of life flowing from the throne of the Lamb and God." That's where that water of life flows from. So that's where that living water flows from. It flows from the throne of God and the Lamb. That's where it comes from. So now you should approach that throne of grace. Approach that throne of grace and know that that is the source of that living water. And that living water flows through the Holy Spirit into you and saturates you. So approach the throne of grace for that. And you do that in prayer. You don't do it physically. You do it spiritually in prayer. Go with thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Yeah, The Bible says, enter the presence of God. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. So go into his presence with thanksgiving, with praise, with worship. Even when Jesus told us to pray the Lord's Prayer, he started by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Pray, that's you know, that's worship, that's praise, that's magnifying him for who he is. So that's exalting him. Holy. This scripture in Revelation that says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. I love that scripture a lot. Sometimes I just say that scripture. I confess that. In fact, yesterday night, I was confessing that scripture for a long time, and the presence of God came down. So that's very good. That's worship. That's praise. That's, you know, that's just exalting the Lord himself. He is holy. There's nothing bad. There's nothing evil about him, around him. Nothing can withstand that holiness. He's so holy. It's just life coming out of him. Nothing evil can go near his presence. And we human beings, we're the ones who carry evil. We are the ones who accept evil. Because if we human beings, if we leave evil on its own, if we leave the devil, we leave the demons, we leave all those bad things, we just leave them. We don't accept them. We don't partner with them. Nothing, no evil is going to be in us. But we open up the door to accept evil. So we are the ones who carry evil. It's not the problem. Your problem is not even from the spirit world or from demons or from the devil. Your problem is that your will, you allowed your will to open up, and then your will opened up, and you're fellowshipping and whining with the devil. And what God wants to do is that he wants you to close that door. He wants you to close the door of your will to evil. So evil might exist in the spirit world. Demons are there. The Satan is there. We're not denying that it exists, but it will not have any effect on you. You will not partner with them to do evil. And it is when you do evil, when you break the law of God and do evil, that is when judgment is passed on you and you begin to experience evil. So that's the cycle. Okay, look at the case of Jesus now. Jesus said he has nothing in me. So that's what Jesus is trying to teach you. Jesus said he has nothing in me. So did you see evil being a part of his life or affecting his life in any way? So that's why I'm trying to say our problem is not from the devil or from demons. Our problem is the way we live our lives. We can get to that place where Jesus got to. And that is why he came. He came to show us the way. He said a servant, when he's fully trained, can be like the master. That's what Jesus came to teach us, how to be victorious over. Those things exist. God is the one who decreed them into being and decreed that we should fight them. He said, resist the devil. So when you blame the devil for your problem, you have not helped yourself. Just like what Adam and Eve did. They never acknowledged the part they played. They started blaming the devil. It was a blame game. Yeah. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil. So we need to accept responsibility. We need to realize that we play a role. We play a role in partnering with evil. So, and that's where the problem comes from. And we need to close that door. You see the way Jesus lived his life. He knew that the devil was existing. He knew that demons were existing. But their existence didn't affect his own life. Didn't make him to do anything evil. He never committed sin, and no judgment was passed upon him. So those things can exist, but you won't partner with them. That's what I'm trying to say. You won't partner with them. So that's how Jesus lived his life. In fact, he was ruling over them and commanding them and putting them under the ground where they belong, because they are inferior to human beings. But human beings don't understand that those things are inferior to them. So when you go and embrace something that is your inferior, you drag yourself down to that position of that inferior thing. So that's how you should see these things. You know, just look at it from the lifestyle of Jesus and try to just live that way. That's how you should see it. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. So we should go with confidence and boldness. That's what God wants. Look at the way Jesus prayed. Jesus is our perfect example. He's the perfect master, and he showed us a perfect way that we can always imitate. He prayed with boldness. He was sure of himself when he was praying to the Father. Father, I thank you because you always hear me. He always prayed with confidence. He believed. He had expectation. So always have expectation when you're praying. Don't doubt. The Bible says you should not doubt. You shouldn't be a double-minded man. So that's how you're going to do it. When you're approaching that throne of grace for that living water we're talking about, the presence of God that we're talking about, and this glory of God we're talking about, that's how you should approach the throne of grace for this living water. Do not doubt, have expectation. Grace, mercy, and help is Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what Jesus is. He is the helper. This grace we're talking about, this mercy we're talking about, this glory of God, that's Jesus. Jesus is the glory of God. He's the mercy of God. He's the grace of God. He's life. He's resurrection and life. He's everything that is good. He's wisdom. This is Jesus. Jesus is the God that is tangible, that we can feel. We can experience Jesus. He's that rock, that cloud, that rock that went with the Israelites and they tasted and ate of that rock, that cloud, that rock. And that rock was Christ. So Christ is the one we fellowship with. The Word of God, we fellowship with the Word of God. The presence of God too, we fellowship with the Word of God. There's an experiential relationship that we should have with Jesus, who is the visible likeness of the invisible God. As long as we're having that experiential relationship with Jesus, our life will be completely purified. We'll become vessels of honor, and our life will just be constantly glorious. That living water we're talking about now, that is Jesus himself. That is the aura of Christ. That is the presence of Christ. That is his very essence, his fragrance. That's what is his blood. That's what it is. That's life for you. And what you need is life. Jesus said, you must eat me and drink me. If you don't eat me and drink me, you won't have life. Did you understand what he was talking about? This is what he was talking about. He said it. If you don't eat me and drink me, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, this is what some people go and manufacture something and call that physical thing the body of Christ. It symbolizes something. You know what, when something is a symbol, bread that you manufactured by yourself or wine you manufactured, can that bread you produce by yourself, can it be Jesus? Look at how people think. This is just when, and when you do that, you're insulting God, because you know very well that is not Jesus Christ. It's a symbol. You might as well go and get, when the Bible talks about living water, that Jesus is living water, Jesus is living stone, you might as well go and get water and get stone and say that's Jesus Christ. Don't you see how that sounds? You know, all these things are perversion of scriptures. Jesus is spiritual, he's not physical. No physical object can be Jesus. So this living water that flows from the throne of grace now, we're talking about from the throne of the Lamb and from the throne of God. This living water we're talking about, that is Jesus. So you need to position yourself spiritually, approach that throne of grace, and make sure you constantly partake, eat, experience of that living water. That's what you need. Once you're constantly being refreshed by that living water, experiencing that living water, what is, affliction? What is demon? What is bad thing? What is sickness? They're not going to be able to stay. It is our ability to constantly put on the presence of God that will protect us. The fire of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fruits. There is no affliction in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Only life. Jesus gives life. The new Adam is the life-giving spirit. Jesus does not produce anything bad. He doesn't produce sickness. Nothing evil comes out of Jesus. So if you're experiencing that kind of thing, quickly run to that living water and go and drink the living water. Eat the living water, not physical bread. Eat that living water, that spiritual water. That's what you need, that cleansing. That was the secret that the apostles had. That was the secret that Jesus himself had. He constantly had that glory of God, and he ministered with that glory of God. That's what you need. You need the glory of God. That's what you need. You need the presence of God. That's what. In fact, I recall now what the Lord was telling me 2 days ago. He said, power is all that matters. That's what you need. You need the Pentecostal power. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. Christians, you need power. Don't think you don't need power. If you didn't need power, God wouldn't have made provision for us to have power. You need it. Even if you cannot, heal other people or have any influence in any other person's life, but at least that power should be able to help your own life and the life of your children and your family. So get enough of that presence of God and protect your house. Protect yourself. That's what you need, and heal yourself and make sure that fire of God puts your enemies under. When they see you, they are running away the way they used to run away when they see Jesus. They will run away from you. So that's what you need. Jesus has given us everything that you need. In fact, the Lord was speaking to me the other day and said, you already have all the armor that you need. Jesus has given us everything we need. It is us. We are the ones now that should make sure we constantly enforce and constantly experience the presence of God and the glory of God. It's in our hands. We are not helpless. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. He didn't leave us as orphans. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. He has given us everything we need. It is our will now, our ability to pay the price. You must pay the price. Go and buy oil from Jesus. Get the living water. You pay the price and constantly take in that glory of God. That's what you need. So that fire of God is Jesus. That living water is Jesus. He is the glory of God and the presence of God. You must be thirsty. You must desire the living water of life. So you must desire. Look at the word they use there. Desire. You must desire. Your heart must desire and yearn for the glory of God. Express your desire in prayer. So you express your desire in prayer. You express your petition in prayer. So when you go into prayer, you know, now we've said it, now you approach the throne of grace. You go there with praise, worship, thanksgiving, confession. You know, just go there magnifying God, confessing who He is, exalting Him. Go there with all that and make sure you do that. That's the sacrifice that God understands. Make sure you also put on the sacrifice of obedience. The Bible talks about spiritual sacrifices. Those are the spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Physical sacrifice is not, He doesn't want it. I don't even want to say it's not pleasing to you. He doesn't want it. So something that He doesn't want automatically is not pleasing to Him. It's offensive to Him. That's why He said He doesn't delight in sacrifices at all. He wants obedience. That's why He said that sacrifices of bulls and goats He does not want. He doesn't want any physical sacrifice from you. He wants the spiritual one. Spiritual one is praise, worship, thanksgiving, obedience. That's what He wants from you. As long as you're doing all that and praying, you're going to be attracting the presence of God. Because I remember the Lord, sometimes the Lord just speak to me and say, give me my food. Because He's already taught me very long time ago that thanksgiving is His food, praise is His food, worship is His food. So once He says, give me my food, I go into thanksgiving, serious thanksgiving. I go into praise. I go into worship. So that's what He wants. He doesn't want physical sacrifices. That one is for idols and that represents human blood. So know what God wants and walk in line with what God wants. So express your desire in prayer. So once you approach the throne of God the right way, then you present your petition to God. You must always have petition. So this petition now we're talking about is the living water. Holy Spirit, come upon me. You know, sing songs about how you want the living water, how you desire and yearn for that living water. Oh Lord, I long to know your glory. Fill this temple once again. So, you know, just sing to Him. You can speak it. You can make melody in your heart anyhow, but present that petition. You need it. If you want to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what you should do. Every day is going to be a reality to you. This Holy Spirit's presence is not going to be a mystery to you. You're going to constantly enjoy the presence of God and you'll be hearing the voice of God. He'll be directing you. All you need to do is to pay the price. So it is free. Acts 8:18-20. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So God doesn't want money from you. That's what people should realize. So when you're going for any kind of prayer, they tell you, do this, do that. God, all those things symbolize something. You know, this money we're talking about in the spirit world is blood. It's human blood. That's why Jesus came and paid with His own blood and used His own blood to purchase us. So it is blood that they used to make transactions in the spirit world. And Jesus has made the ultimate transaction. So you know that Jesus has purchased you. What are you purchasing again? Somebody is going to tell you, bring this, bring that, bring money. You know, just bring physical things. This is sacrifice. We sacrifice when Jesus already died for you and paid the price for your salvation. If you're doing that, you're an idol worshiper and you're a pagan. I just want to let you know the truth now, because I don't want anybody going to hell or being lost. If you're listening to me, I want you to be saved. Just yesterday night, the Lord was showing me, I just recorded it now. A little boy, not too little like that, he's a bit grown up, but not too grown up. That fire burning him all over his eyes. In fact, I still recalling that, even still, you know, keeps me a little bit somehow, because when I saw that boy, he really touched me when I saw him, and I knew he was already lost. There was nothing I could do for him. But right now, we're all still here on this earth. I can still intercede for the people that are here, people that are listening to me, and make sure they don't go to that place where that boy, where I fear I saw that boy. You know, and sometimes when they see me, they know I'm an evangelist. So they try to approach me, but I know I can't do anything because they're already gone, they are lost. So that's how it works. So don't go down that route. Be obedient. Make sure you keep away from anything they're telling you, sacrifice this, bring that, bring that, bring physical object. Don't allow yourself to go into something that is idol worship, that is polluted with human blood, and God doesn't like it. Because in the spirit world, ignorance is not an excuse. If you go to a country now and then you go there, you don't know their law, you break the law, then they'll put you in prison. You're not going to be telling them, I didn't know that this was your law. So it's happened several times. The same thing, if you don't know the word of God, your ignorance is not going to save. In fact, the people that are getting lost, they are getting lost through that ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So it is the ignorance that destroys. It is that ignorance that kills. And you're not going to plead that ignorance. So know what you need to know now. Keep away from anything idol worship. Forget about that. Jesus has paid the price for your salvation. You cannot pay. You cannot buy the gift of God. You cannot buy life. You cannot buy deliverance. You cannot buy healing. You can't buy anything. You can't buy the presence of God. How this one tried to do it, now he tried to buy. You can't. It is free. This presence of God is free. Remember the first scripture? We say, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. It is free. God's gift is free. God's gift is free. So make sure that you have that mentality that God's gift is free. Do not insult God. Because when you begin to go to people that are going to tell you, go and do this, take money, give to orphanage, do this, do that, bring this. They're making a transaction with you. It's a spiritual transaction. But if you are born again and you know this word of God, you will not go down that route. So that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Because I know the danger in these things. I'm an evangelist, and the Lord has shown me what is happening, how the spirit world is. He has revealed all that to me. In fact, the Lord keeps telling me, say, tell them, let no one find himself in that world of the dead, that Hades, that hell. Let no one find himself there. In fact, the Lord, even still yesterday or 2 nights ago, the Lord was still talking to me about that. Say, that place is a very bad place. Let no one find himself in that place. That's what the Lord keeps telling me. The Lord even told me, say, in that place, they're always hungry. That place is a very bad place. It's a very terrible place. Don't go there. And how people go there now is through things like this, refusing to accept the true gospel, refusing Jesus Christ, refusing the word of God. And then before you know it, they go into another gospel. And then before you know it, they lose themselves. So examine yourself today to know whether you're in the faith. Make sure that you protect yourself. Make sure you preserve yourself. Make sure that you're walking in the Lord. Make sure that number one commandment, because the Lord told me, say, my ministry is denounced idol worship and denounce sin. That's what the Lord, he gave me this mandate a very long time ago. That's my ministry. And you know that idol worship is number one sin, very bad sin. That's idol worship, because it is shedding of human blood. So make sure that even anyone you see going down that route, correct that person so that you know that your conscience is free. Preach the word of God to that person. Tell the person, this thing you're doing is dangerous. Go into the Bible, use the scriptures to correct that person. Make sure that you help people, even as people are helping you, praying for you. The knowledge that you have, also share that knowledge. If you know it's gonna, if you know that somebody is going the wrong way, that is very dangerous to that person, you can. It's your responsibility to help that person, show the person the way. But if you try to help the person refuses you, then dust your feet. That's what Jesus said. And know that you've done what you need to do. But also, don't forget to pray for the person. Pray for anyone who is going astray or who is doing the wrong thing or who doesn't have that light or revelation. So that's my scripture for today. So this living water, you need to desire this living water. You need to thirst for this living water. You need to yearn for this living water. That's what God wants to give you. That's his ultimate best for you. Anything you're trying to do in your life that is not going to give you the constant presence of God going with you in your Christian journey every day is a mirage. It's just not the reality. The reality is Christ. The reality is the presence of God. And through the word of God, you can experience constantly that presence of God. So I pray for you now. May the Lord himself clothe you with his living water and his presence. May you be complete through the blood of Jesus Christ. May the Lord give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the word of God. May great grace be upon you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a good day. Remain blessed. Bye.